Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago, it's the Sports Doctor. Welcome. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness, brought to you by Lower Extremity Review and MVP Parent Magazines, Global Schoolwear, School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, and Right Fit Sports Fitness and Performance. We've got a great doubleheader today. Tim Halligan, longtime colleague, longtime tennis coach, so many top juniors. He's also a longtime tennis club manager, and he's recently landed at the fabulous new Raleigh Racquet Club in North Carolina. Tim is also a contributor to hashtag Hey Sports Parents. And then we're going to have Teresa Power, international kids yoga expert. She's the founder of Kids Yoga Day. She's the author of the ABCs of Yoga for Kids. And then we'll have the sports doctor talk about some upcoming shows, some emails. First, hey, Tim Halligan, welcome back to the sports doctor, my friend.
Well, thank you so much, Doc. It's a pleasure. You know, it's just amazing. We go back, you know, 24 years or so, which is kind of crazy to think about. But it's always a pleasure to be on.
Great to have you on, Timmer. Again, give us some quickie background on your journey from really pro athlete and sports parent, club manager. Give us some background, Timmer.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I grew up playing tennis. You know, tennis has been part of my life since I was probably about 4 years old. And, you know, grew up down in Kentucky and was a state high school champion down there and went and played tennis at Northern Illinois University. And when I finished playing tennis, I went out and traveled the world and got to see some great things. Didn't make a whole lot of money, but I can say I went and played professional tennis. And then I got into the world of coaching, and you know, I've helped probably 80 or so kids get Division I scholarships. And, you know, more importantly, as you look back upon it, it's not about the titles. It's about the people that they become. And that's really been a highlight in my life. And then I got into the world of running clubs. You know, I ran the world's largest club in Chicago for many, many years. And then for about the last 20 years or so, I've been consulting for clubs. And so I've run a multitude of different clubs. And like you said, I'm right now in Raleigh, North Carolina, run the Raleigh Racquet Club, which is the premier tennis club on the East Coast. And excited to be able to chat with you today.
Yes, you were over in Plainfield at Five Star Tennis for a few years. You know, two of your daughters, how old are your girls now? What are their names?
Annabelle and Trinity, and they are 17 and 14.
Yes. And again, you know, right out of your article in my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, again, the challenge, like you explained so well, from being a competitor yourself, the whole world of parenting a child athlete, the incredible pressures many times. It's why I co-authored the book with Hall of Famer volleyballer Sharkey Zartman, was the epidemic, all capital letters, everybody, of overuse injuries in youth sports, both physical and mental, whether it's the overzealous, ranting and raving coach or parent, or it's a problem with injuries. There are, you know, I have a chapter in the book, Tim, it's called The Prodigy Sports. Think gymnastics, think figure skating, ballet, but tennis is right there also, where we have kids growing up. It's the only sport they play. We could tell them all day we might want them to play other sports, but tennis is right up there. And you started 4 years old. You're a good example.
Yes, sir. And I think, you know, you bring up a great point. You know, as I look back and I think things have changed tremendously, where people I don't think really understand. A lot of times parents really don't understand, and even coaches really don't understand. all the other sports that you participate in help with so many more different muscle groups. They help with so much better in coordination and such. And, you know, I grew up playing multiple sports until you finally get to a place where you say, time to make a decision. And so I agree with everything you said.
You know, but we've seen again the, you know, tennis being one of the sports where we would see adolescents, you know, going way back with all of these players. Half of them I put in orthotics, you know, give or take a few over all of these years. And we've also watched, Timur, the incredible increase in physicality and athleticism that tennis demands. You know, when I saw McEnroe in 1982 with Bob Guida, you know, to tell these guys to train besides tennis, nobody wanted to do it. It was a tough sell. The world has turned upside down, hasn't it, in your philosophies in the idea of physically for youth tennis?
Oh, absolutely. I was actually just watching yesterday that great Wimbledon match where Arthur Ashe beat Jimmy Connors, and I was just watching, and a couple of days earlier, I was watching Martina Navratilova play against Tracy Austin, and what a different game it is than today. The speed, the equipment,
unbelievable.
The definition that these athletes have in their bodies is incredible.
I still have a picture of Tracy Austin and I from 1985 when she spent 6 months with Guida. She was, you know, unfortunately, she hated it, the poster girl of, you know, semi-burnout or whatever. And, but yes, the athleticism has dramatically changed in, you know, so many ways. Everybody listening to the Sports Doctor, live from Chicago, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. If you go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, if you go over to radio shows, you can go back almost a decade. You'll probably catch Timur. He's been on 3 or 4 times over the years. Before that, I think we had reel-to-reel shows. If you go to newspaper articles and magazines, you'll see a myriad of articles from so many different people on everything from concussions to what's the best shoe to what about specializing in a particular sport. And again, we have such an exciting following on Twitter, over 30,000 followers. We have a lot of great sports medicine, fitness, wellness information at Sports Doc, DOC Radio. We're talking with longtime tennis coach and club manager, Timur Halligan. Schwartz, what was, you know, the Tennis Corporation of America, right, Timur? Where you ran that club. Wasn't that the biggest tennis club in the country in the 80s? I'm trying to date you.
Yeah, I did. Alan Schwartz, Tennis Corporation of America.
Yeah, Alan Schwartz.
You know, Midtown Tennis Club, downtown Chicago, was the largest indoor tennis club. Actually, first tennis club constructed from the ground up specifically for tennis, because back in those days, they were just putting tennises in warehouses and armories and everything else. So it's a great place down there in Chicago.
Yes. Not only that, but as time went on and the athleticism truly was becoming a bigger and bigger deal, Alan incorporated the fitness into and the strength training, a lot of these things, or he tried his best to incorporate that. You know, Bob Guida's philosophies. You were part of our whole team going back all these decades when it became working with some of these top hot shots in so many different sports. And, of course, tennis was one of them. You know, we have a contest a couple times a year, Timur, and we ask listeners, you know, what sport requires the best athlete? It's a great question, a lot of answers, and always tennis is included, you know, in the sport that requires the best athlete. Tell us about the Rally Racquet Club. I see pictures of indoor clay court. Looks fantastic. Tell us about it.
Absolutely. I mean, the Rally Racquet Club has been around for about 50 years here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And they've hosted some of the most incredible events over the years. In fact, they've hosted the Fed Cup there many years ago, and Monica Seles competed. And, you know, Jimmy Connors' Nuveen Tour had a stop there. In fact, they actually officed out of the club. And it was founded by some tennis enthusiasts back in 1968. And we have 31 tennis courts there. And what we just finished doing, and we're the only club in North America, we added 8 indoor red clay courts. So we're the only club in North America to have those. And then we also built 5 brand new hard courts with lights. So we got 31 tennis courts there. An incredible junior program, Doc. I wish you were local because folks, you know, if they really realize that.
Hey, I see figure skaters. I see figure skaters from all over the country. And again, I am available for telemedicine, absolutely, for your players in order to be able to consult with some of these kids. Absolutely. What's the website, Timmer, for the club?
RRCtennis.com.
Okay. You know, I remember I got an email or something from you saying, hey, we're moving to North Carolina. I said, really? Because, I mean, when did you relocate down there?
Back in, actually 1 year ago today is, when I got here. Yep.
Yeah. You know, Timmer was supposed to be on a couple of months ago, but there was a leak in the roof when they had a nor'easter or something, whatever, you know, right 5 minutes before. One of the fun parts about live radio, Timmer, is, you know, if something happens, the guest doesn't show up, you got to be able to, dance to whatever the tune happens to be. There's nobody on the show, Timmer, and whatever their vocation, whatever their sport, whether they're parents, superstars, grandmas, who's not dealing, of course, with the COVID-19, which has affected everything. As a coach of juniors and the whole world, schools shut, they're not. How are you doing in your neck of the world down there with COVID's effect on everything, but specifically with the sport, let's say, of junior tennis and your programs?
Well, I think there are two different questions, or there's two different answers, because, you know, tennis, fortunately enough, is one of those sports where people said, hey, it's a good sport to play because you can maintain social distancing, you can keep people apart from each other and such. And when you've got warmer weather, you know, but even indoor tennis, you know, there's this debate right now on should you or shouldn't you. And you know, the average tennis court's 3,000 square feet. So 4 people on 3,000 square feet, you definitely can keep your social distancing. So from a practice perspective, it hasn't impacted too much because we're able to still do that. You know, you've got to train
kids.
Yes,
that's good to hear. Yes.
You got to train the kids to wear masks and such, but you know, otherwise, but tournaments is a whole different story, Doc.
Yes, as far as, you know, what's being played and what's not being played, even in the highest level, whether it was Wimbledon, the U.S. Open, everybody had to change, cancel, reschedule. And one of the big topics, Timmer, on the sports doctor, as you know, regardless of the sport, regardless of the coach, besides, you know, how your sports psychology skills are, you know, which we always ask you guys, you know, you're both a parent of top competing girls as well as a coach. And how do you walk that fine line, Dad?
You use a lot of third party. You know, you incorporate a team of individuals. So dads and moms can't do it alone because it just won't work. And for the long term.
One of your famous sentences in your participation in the book hashtag Hey Sports Parents is let the players play, the coaches coach, and the parents parent. The last couple of minutes, talk about that sentence, Timmer.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, here's the thing about parents. Like when you watch a game like tennis, or you watch any game, it's so easy to watch from the sidelines and figure out what could have been a little bit different. And your natural tendency as a parent, I do believe the majority of all parents, if not all parents, their intentions are really genuine. They want what's best for the child. But when a child finishes a competition and they've gotten beat, or even if they've won, and the parents begin to go into coaching mode, they're taking away a joyous moment that a parent and child should have, even in defeat, because you have the best opportunity to be there and tell your child it's okay. We'll just work harder next time. That's the way life goes. You got to just pick yourself back up. But too often we go into, well, you should have done this, you should have done this, you should have done this. And a lot of times with no even, you know, mental
warm
down period.
Remember our friend, Timmer, the late Jim Vickery, great sports psychologist, was a big part of our overall team. He would say, don't be a critic, was one of his famous first sentences to sports parents. When he would talk about also once it becomes drill, so many of these kids want to quit. And again, another part of your chapter that you wrote about, after a loss or something like that, you'd say, one of the first things I tell the kids is I love you as a parent and whatever, and give them some space. So, you know, you've come a long way, and you mentioned that, right, as a parent and a coach, when it comes to, because you've got to deal with the moms and dads, and you've got to deal with some of the coaches and these kids themselves. That's why, again, I always ask how your sports psychology skills are, when it comes to, working with not only young kids, but your own kids. And both your girls are quite competitive, aren't they?
Yes, I mean they play at the highest level, and they've got all kinds of great opportunities. And I think you just have to let the kids find their own way. That's what we had to do in life, Doc. I mean that's what we did, and it's hard to see that sometimes as a parent. You just kind of keep them between the guardrails. They're going to bounce off them here and there, but they won't go off the road.
That's a great way to look at it. You know, when you're talking again about the kinds of challenges. Is Annabelle going to play in college? Going to play for anybody?
Yeah, we're right now in that whole recruiting process, and she's got all.
What about Louisville?
we've been talking.
Come on,
with
man.
I know. We've been talking with Louisville. I know those folks very, very well, and of course, for obvious reasons, I'd love her to go down there. So we'll see what happens. Another sad thing of COVID is you're seeing so many different schools programs, yes. Cutting their tennis, which is sad.
Timmer Halligan, the coach of champions. Timmer, give me the site for the Raleigh Racquet Club.
It is rrctennis.com. Check it out. Just because if you're a tennis enthusiast, you'll appreciate all we offer.
The only place in North America with indoor red clay like Roland Garros. Hey, Timmer, thanks so much. Hold on. Hold on, Timmer. Everybody, we'll be right back. It's the Sports Doc. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, the Sports Doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. An essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, Hey Sports Parents. everybody. Live from Chicago. Welcome back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. And welcome back. I want to welcome back international kids yoga expert, Teresa Power. She's the founder of Kids Yoga Day. She's the author of ABCs of Yoga for Kids and Little Mouse Adventure Series. Teresa, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Oh, thanks so much, Dr. Bob. I'm so excited to be back.
Give us some quickie background on you. I don't know how it'll be your whole background with this kids yoga. Give us some background.
Okay, well, just in a quick nutshell for your listeners, I am actually an attorney. So it's over 30 years ago, I was in law school and I started practicing yoga to de-stress. And then I decided that I didn't want to practice, I didn't want to practice law when I got married, so I ended up getting certified to teach yoga. And then I started teaching yoga to kids, and then I created a whole series of ABCs of Yoga for Kids books that you talked about, and my newest venture is Little Mouse Adventures. I have a whole new series of this little mouse. It's more a fiction series where he goes to different places, and he's kind of a Curious George type, where he's very curious about everything and wants to know about the world, so he uses the yoga to kind of help calm himself down. So I've done that, and like you said, I'm also the founder of International Kids Yoga Day that happens the first Friday every April, and we have tens of thousands of kids all around the world that practice yoga on the same day at the same time. So I'm very proud of that venture of mine as well.
Yeah, so I guess you got to make sure you contact me a couple of weeks before so we could get you back right around that time like we did a couple of years ago. You know, the importance of exercise, youth sports, fitness, and I know you write about that particular topic on the Sports Doctor. We've been talking about it for decades. And the addition of yoga, which, of course, has such a international background to thousands of years, and mind, body, and many athletes really, really are interested in yoga. But the fact that how effective it is, helpful it is with children, you were one of the first ones that I saw was really, really paying attention to that. You know, you talked about it reducing stress for children. We talked about it helped limbering up and preventing injuries with children. And so that becomes a big part. And I would imagine, how has it been appreciated by everybody as you were introducing the children's side of yoga?
Well, I think that's a great question because I think right now it's very much appreciated and people are coming to me and I'm actually doing a lot of free online kids yoga classes because kids are so stressed right now during the pandemic and having to be indoors and all the fear and uncertainty that's going around the whole world. So I think a lot of parents now are turning to yoga to help kids to be able to get a form of exercise and also to stay calm. But in the beginning, it was a little harder, especially at schools, because I've taught at schools before, where they maybe thought it was religious or didn't understand why young kids had to have yoga.
They wanted you to play dodgeball.
Well, exactly. And listen, Dr. Bob, there's nothing wrong with dodgeball and all the traditional sports, but yoga really, and you know this, it helps at a kids at a young age to be able to, their bodies are naturally flexible. And so it helps, you know, maintain that flexibility as they get older.
Well, as an example, Teresa, my first guest, longtime youth tennis coach, Timmer Halligan, the top training programs for top youth athletes now often includes yoga for all of these reasons physically as well as other reasons. It's interesting how you mentioned when you were first introducing this to schools that maybe they, you know, hey, you know, the spiritual side, which today is such a big deal, they wanted to know, well, hey, listen, are you talking religion here? That's almost funny.
Well, it is ridiculous because especially the way that I introduce yoga to kids, which is more of, especially young children, it's more a playful introduction and just having them feel their own bodies and get used to being in different positions and seeing how it feels. You know, it's not any sort of contortions or anything else. It's just stretching their bodies and strengthening their muscles.
It's balance and stability. It's control of muscle movement. There isn't a sport that doesn't involve all of this. So many times, and one of the things, if we've learned anything in the world of youth sports over the past decades, I call it on the Sports Doctor, the mental game. This is a big deal. whether your kid's the best athlete in the country or they're just participating, from having fun to high performance. So the mental side has become something that we pay so much more attention to it. Teresa, what's the website about the whole world of kids yoga for people to find out about the million things you're doing?
Okay, so you can go to abcyogaforkids.com. And again, that's abcyogaforkids.com. Or you can simply go to teresapower.com, and then it'll list all the different various things that I do. But I want to get back to that mental edge you said quickly, because I think that's such a great point. I mean, I just love that mental, because that distinguishes a good athlete. The one that has that mental focus is the one that will be able to get through, even in the tennis game. You know, I used to play tennis in college and high school, and the player, everyone has the same skills, but it's the one that can really sharply focus and be able to be down 40 love and not take that into account, that can come back. That's the leading edge, I think.
Yes, and it is a. It's also extremely important for children's self-esteem, their well-being. When I first had you on the show, which was 5 years ago, whenever it was, you know, I've been screaming about childhood obesity for 25 years, give or take a few weeks. And we're still faced with this incredible epidemic of obesity in children as well as adults. It is right in our face today, like it's always been. So the importance of exercise and that mental side of that young child, you know, appreciating having fun, understanding what's important, often becomes very, very important. You know, whether it's a adult trying to stick to their diet, whether it is somebody trying to follow the fitness program that they haven't been successful with doing. So, you know, mind body is fitness clubs. 20 years ago, they didn't know how to spell it.
You're right. No, they did not. Yeah. And now
yoga wasn't part of yoga wasn't part of most fitness clubs decades ago. Now there's not a fitness club that really, really, you know, doesn't include it. Tell us about Kids Yoga Day and some background on that. And there's thousands of kids that participate in this, aren't there?
Oh yeah, we have so far right now this year we have 96,000 kids signed up. And we're not even halfway to April yet. So it's really exciting. And all the different countries and states participate. And people can sign up to be an ambassador, right? So they simply sign up. It's completely free. And then we give them all the tools to plan an event on Kids Yoga Day. So in different states, different countries, they're all planning these yoga events where kids are practicing yoga at the same – well, we try to get them to do it at the same time, regardless of the time zone, but if they can't, that's fine too, because I can't monitor it all around the world.
Right, holding hands around the country.
But the point is that they're invisibly holding hands while they're all doing yoga on the same day, celebrating their, you know, oneness and uniqueness at the same time. And a lot of teachers, especially within the younger grades, they'll take out a map and show kids, okay, look, you know, there's kids here Arizona, or like, you know, Lithuania, Monaco, Poland, you know, Hong Kong, practicing alongside you, you know, in California, Illinois, wherever you are. It's really magical, I must tell you. And it's really grown. And also, I wanted to tell you that I've written a book called The Night Before Kids Yoga Day. It comes out February 1st for your listeners. And I'm really excited about that. It's in all the major stores, Barnes & Noble. And it's a send-up poem, like The Night Before Christmas, only it's The Night Before Kids Yoga Day. And I'm very, very excited about this book. And I think a lot of kids could read the book The Night Before Kids Yoga Day and then practice the little yoga routine on Kids Yoga Day. So very excited about that.
Yeah, that's definitely a career change from an attorney to Kids Yoga Day.
And you know what?
Definitely a great move.
And you know what, Dr. Bob? I am so much happier. I've always loved working. When I was a kid, I loved children, you know, and as I grew up, I wanted to be a preschool teacher is what I really wanted to do. But then, you know, I got older and I was, you know, need to have a career, so I went to law school. But I love what I'm doing right now. I mean, I love teaching kids, and I think it's so important because the kids are our new generation, the next generation of leaders. And I think that if they can develop those habits early on and be centered and flexible and strong, I think that the world's going to be a better place.
Oh, you know, to say anything that brings together all these different cultures and countries let alone at a time like this. There is nobody in the world who's not affected by what we're dealing with coronavirus. And anything that can help is, I think, appreciated times 20 with what we have been going through. You know, but at the same time, the idea of incorporating so many children, how early do you go age-wise? What are the ages that have taken part in Kids Yoga Day?
Oh, anywhere from 3 to 18-year-olds. Because if you just go to kidsyogaday.com, or we have an Instagram page, Kids Yoga Day, and also Facebook page, there's pictures of all these kids all around the world doing yoga on that day. And so we have preschool kids, and we also have high school kids. I know in Denmark, this huge class of, I think it was seniors, were all practicing the routine on Kids Yoga Day. So it's not just for young kids. It's for everybody. But my specialty happens to be, you know, young children, 3 to 8-year-olds. That's kind of my target area that I teach, but I teach adults as well in all ages. And the routines that I suggest for Kids Yoga Day, they can do whatever they want, but I have a 5-minute free routine
it's
they can
still,
find.
Yes, and it's still semi-news, the idea that yoga for children has so many advantages, starting with safety, and really has so many different advantages, and it's still news to many, I think, individuals in the world of sports, for example, who might not think about yoga, although every great figure skater that I work with over decades, many times included yoga, something that we had always recommended for them, again, for, we would call it controlled flexibility. You could write that down for your next book, Teresa.
Okay, controlled, but I like that, controlled flexibility.
Because flexibility, over-flexibility, it's one of the things that made my very famous sports medicine therapist, Bob Guida, famous. He was very, very concerned of overstretching when there wasn't control over those ranges and causing problems. So, again, you know, yoga has to be taught properly. Technique is very, very important. Again, especially with growing kids. And you've always paid big attention to that, don't you?
Of course I do. I agree 100% with you, and I think we have talked about this before. And I love that point you made, because it is dangerous for kids to overstretch, you know, and so you really have to
dangerous
teach them
for adults to overstretch.
Well, exactly. I mean, yes, you're right. I qualify the statement. It's dangerous for anybody.
Yes.
How's that? But it is. And especially people that are also another dangerous people that are very tight, that try too hard, they end up pulling muscles too. You know what I mean? Because they're not used to it. So it is a control, but that's where it goes back to the mind. You know what I mean? It ties in with mindfulness. I really believe yoga and mindfulness go together. When you're doing the yoga, and I teach this even to young kids, is that they use their mind and they pay attention to what they're doing. That's the problem. That's where people get into trouble when they're not paying attention.
I think that's one of the things, yes. You know, the word mindfulness, again, medical profession didn't know how to spell that decades ago. The idea of being here and now where you are. And you used the word before, centered. You know, one of the things, you know, these kids become centered. They become aware of what they're doing because yoga brings that to the table. There's a big mental part of that. And I think that's so important for young growing kids to appreciate, you know, now again, more than ever. How many countries are involved in the International Kids Yoga Day?
Okay, so right now we have 15 countries, but that's only halfway through. And in the past, we've had 25 countries that have participated. And we've had all the states participate in the past. Right now we have 21, but we don't have Chicago yet, so we need Chicago, Illinois. No, but last year we did.
Really?
So we got to get some people to sign up, and it's completely free. I want to emphasize that.
We're going to talk more about it, Teresa. We're going to talk more about it. Teresa Power, the founder of Kids Yoga Day. It's the Sports Doctor, everybody. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. Welcome back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, and we're speaking with Teresa Power. She is the founder of Kids Yoga Day. 95,000 kids signed up. It's in April. It's a fantastic idea. And she's the author of ABCs of Yoga for Kids. You mentioned you were very excited also, this adventure series, Little Mouse Adventure Series. Now, yoga's mixed into everything you write about, isn't it?
Yes, it is. That is my passion. It has been my passion for 35 years. It's like it ingrained in me. I still practice to this day 5 days a week, even with the pandemic. Now I'm just practicing my own little routine here at home. But,
You need it for your own mental health.
Yes, and for my own flexibility and to keep myself strong and centered, I do. I mean, I am telling you, I don't know what I would do without it. It really calms me down.
Wherever the guests I've had on over this past 8-9 months, as long as the pandemic's been around, regardless of the area of expertise, regardless from where in the world they are, we're all dealing with this. And what's amazing is so many of the mental experts that I've had on have talked about that mental health, this is a very, very big deal, whether it's the kids who are not in school, whether it's parents that can't work because the kids aren't, all of these 50 different things that are affecting all of us, and the importance of exercise, the better shape you're in, the better your immune system, that is so, so very, very important. But the mental side, to somehow be able to pay attention to something else, I think is a key aspect, you know, in your own paying attention to wanting to include that every day. Besides the as we get older and we start losing a lot of flexibility, this becomes a real factor in all sorts of pulled muscles, all sorts of problems. What's your new book coming out in February?
Okay, the new book is called The Night Before Kids Yoga Day. So it's a send-up to, like, the night before Christmas. So it's based on that poem, only it's The Night Before Kids Yoga Day, right? And a group of small yogis can't wait to get started, so they practice the routine in the backyard of the mom and dad's home. And the mom, instead of the dad in The Night Before Christmas, it's the mom that's the narrator. And it's very cute. It goes through the whole Kids Yoga Day routine that thousands of kids around the world practice on Kids Yoga Day. And it's just really fun. I'm very creative and innovative, and I love continually innovating and coming up with new fun ways for kids to learn yoga in a way that they don't, so to say, it's not being forced on them. You know, it's just a way that they can get excited about it.
Oh, yeah. I think if you had a survey with young school kids and you even asked them to explain what yoga is, you'd be amazed how many don't have a clue. Really. So you as an educator are making a tremendous difference, area.
That's interesting you bring that up, because I ask kids sometimes, like, because I've been doing a lot of Zoom. In fact, at one school in the inner city here in L.A., I've been doing, a reading of my book to the kids and then doing some yoga afterwards. So I ask them if they know what yoga is, and some do, some don't. But the ones that raise their hand and say they know, they just say, oh, it's a way to relax. Well, that's true, but there's so many other benefits that I tell them.
That's huge.
Besides just relaxing, though, it also helps with their strength and their flexibility, like we talked about earlier.
Well, again, here's the other one. Yes, it's here's the other note for you. It's for physical and mental relaxing. That's again, one of the real keys many times, which is that inclusion, the fact that physically, as well as mentally, and this has become a very, very big deal. I would imagine, yoga is international. Yoga goes back centuries. And I would think that the yogis, like you mentioned, and all of these individuals involved with yoga internationally probably are excited about your emphasis with the kids.
Oh, you know what they are? Let me tell you, and India actually is participating in International Kids Yoga Day, and I have a monthly, in case any of your listeners are interested, I do have a monthly Facebook Live class that I do. It's free, where I do classes, and a lot of people from India are joined in on it because I get kids from all over the world joining in, right? So I think that's very interesting, yes, because they're interested in it because it's important to start at that early age, and they know that, but it's now becoming more the norm in Western culture, although it's been slow.
Yes, and seeing it and again, I've always been concerned about, as long as it's been here in Western culture, is the safety side of it, and that technique is done properly and with, qualified, educated instructors. This is where we started seeing problems as yoga exploded. It's like everything else. It's when aerobics exploded 30 years ago. We said, well, holy cow, half the instructors are injured, or when step up became a big deal in aerobics and we saw everybody else was injured. So the importance of proper technique and proper knowledgeable instructors in schools and whatever for kids, I would imagine is a real concern for you.
Yes, it is. It is. You're completely right, because you want to make sure that no one does get injured. And that's why I do a lot of teacher trainings, too, for teachers, and I always tell them not, especially for younger kids, don't ever force them into the poses or try to adjust them, because when young kids especially are learning these new poses, it's best for them to explore it in their own bodies. Like, show them either the picture from my book about how to get into the pose or show them how to do the pose, but let them feel it in their bodies, and then you can start, explaining to them. But you want to be careful. You have to be really careful that they don't injure themselves. You're right.
Yes, and again, I think when technique is proper, and you've got qualified people, whether it's my first guest, Timmer, talking about coaching top 12, 10, 11, 13-year-old kids with growing bodies, or whether it is the proper strength training and technique that's done with any of these kids in growing bodies, we don't want to cause trouble. We really, really want to prevent them, prevent problems. This is one of our biggest areas that we were excited about, seeing yoga added to the strength and athletic training of, I don't care what the kid's sport was, I don't care what their level was, we don't care what their age was, yoga was helpful. Again,
yeah.
Both physically and mentally. How much time is involved, like the yoga day? Is it, I can't believe we flew through it. Give me again the website, Teresa, for people to contact you.
Okay, they can go to teresapower.com, or they can go to abcyogaforkids.com. to contact me.
Founder of Kids Yoga Day. Teresa, don't forget to send me a message that maybe in March or so we get you back on and start hyping the Yoga Day, something like that. Thanks so much
that.
For joining me, Teresa. Okay. Power. Hold on, everybody. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness is a unique physical fitness experience whose breakthrough formula is built for all ages and abilities. Young or old, high-level athletes have special needs or seeking post-rehab and recovery therapy, Right Fit has a 15-year track record of measurable results. Right Fit has two Illinois locations, LaGrange and Willowbrook. No membership fees. Pay as you go. Go to right-fit.com. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness. Right-fit.com.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, we're back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go over to radio shows, you could browse through years of shows. Who were the guests? What were the topics? You could listen to whatever you'd like. If you zip over to newspaper articles and magazines, you could read a myriad of articles that we've had, guest authors that I've contributed, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, MVP Parents Magazine, and so many articles that we took part in. If you go to Sports Doc, DOC Radio on Twitter, we have over 30,000 followers. We have great sports, medicine, fitness, wellness information. I can't tell you how many guests I get from Twitter. I get a lot also. We have 6,000-7,000 followers on LinkedIn. Lots of action going on. It's the Sports Doctor's Inn. We're going to answer some emails. As you know, we highlight some upcoming shows. Next week, one of my favorite guests, another guy who's changed the world of sports medicine, Gary Reinl. The Anti-Ice Man, the author of the book Iced, the Illusionary Treatment Option. He'll be back. And then Steve Wasik with VKTRY Industries, his graphite insert technology will be with us the following week. Carrie Powell, longtime tennis coach. He's an author of an upcoming book. Very involved in the mental side, adding hypnosis for various sports training. And then champion bodybuilder, Joshua Seltz. He's associated with Forbes Riley and so many different things they do in the world of fitness and wellness. He'll be joining us. We've got some emails. If you email me, throw you in the mix, drrwildsportsdoctor@yahoo.com. John says, my 13-year-old daughter, figure skater, has been dealing with sesamoiditis for over a year. You know, John, we've a long time seen this is one of the problems on occasion, and we want to pay big attention that she's in a boot that fits her properly. We also want to pay attention to the connection of the blades to the boot. Sometimes there's a screw attached right underneath the sesamoid. Sesamoid bones are the two movable bones underneath the big toe joint. Whatever the sport, they could be aggravated. When we're talking jumping, like figure skating, we could aggravate these areas and it could be very problematic. Sesamoids start to appear on an x-ray at about 12 years old in growing kids, and sometimes they develop in a couple of pieces. Other times they could be fractured with trauma, and because they're movable bones, they could be problematic. Key here is to get into a custom orthotics with accommodation for that area. We've been very successful with that. Go to my website. You can find out more about it. Robert asked, is CBD effective? You know, Robert, I'm a big fan of CBD. CBD is the non-psychedelic side of medical marijuana, is how I describe it. We've had great success. I can't tell you how many athletes over the decades have talked about the help they get from marijuana, whether it was reducing stress, whether it was helping sleep, whether it was helping with pain and recovery. It just was banned, and they weren't able to have access. Over the past half a decade or so, the ability of all of the positives of the cannabinoids that are parts of marijuana, CBD, is something that leaves out THC, which is the psychedelic or get high side. The exciting part of CBD is it can be very effective for a myriad of things, and there's no side effect. It's natural. One of our biggest hassles with drugs, you know, we don't have to talk about painkillers. It's a plague on our society. Over-the-counter pain medicines are a plague in youth sports. And the ability to have access to a safe, very often effective method of reducing inflammation and soreness is CBD. There's a lot of information that you can check on. You could talk to your own physician. But I'm a very, very big fan. But we got to be proper quality. You know, there's a lot of hype. There's a million different companies now. So you got to be educated. Check it out. One of our faves, ICOR, I-C-K-O-R products, top quality. You check them out. Denise says, are cross-training shoes good for field and court sports? Cross-trainers are sports shoes made by running shoe companies, Nike, New Balance, Adidas, that are for multi-directional sports. Even though they're not particularly sports-oriented, which I still recommend, if you're playing tennis, you should be in a tennis shoe. If you're playing basketball, you should be in a basketball shoe, etc. Cross-trainers are a great secondary choice that gives lateral side-to-side support. Running shoes are made for 1 foot straight ahead direction and not the side to side stability, and cross trainers are. So this is something that you can safely use if you see a participating, you know, what's the kind of shoe that I can play lots of different things in? Cross trainer, like everything else in sports shoes, you must be fit properly. I can't tell you what a problem this still is. 50% of us not fit properly. So everybody, again, stay safe, stay educated, wear masks. There's a light at the end of the tunnel, but this is very, very difficult times. You must be educated. You got to stay safe. It's going to be a tough winter, and we're all in it together. Do our best with the holidays, but back off. We'll see you next week. Another edition of the Sports Doctor. Thank you.